the cauldron for another episode of Good Witch, Bad Witch. Which witch are you?
Did I say that?
Urkel may have been onto something with his iconic expression. We've all said the wrong things with hilarious consequences, including celebrities. Oh, famous people say the darndest things. Speaking of famous, here come the witches. Shelley, Lisa, and Daryl.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Boot Glitch... Gitch... Glitchy... Oh, shit. It's Good Witch, Bad Witch, the podcast, and we're doing a show called Slip of the Lip today. Was that natural?
Slip of the Lip?
Yeah.
Actually, I looked at really fast.
Yeah.
I was like, what is she doing?
She has a stroke out over here.
Good Witch, that's it. It's a podcast.
That's not what it's called.
Damn no. Witch and Slam Witch.
GWW, it's Witchy Wednesday. We're recording, and you're listening to it on Wednesday if you're a true fan, and you listen to it the day it comes out. And yeah, today we're talking about Slips of the Lip. But let me introduce you to my co-hosts and friends, the Bad Witch, Lisa Brown.
Hi.
Hi. Last week when she did the intro, she did it childlike and then sexy. And it was like she was having, I don't know, all the characters on Clue. I don't know what the deal is, but
yes.
Today she's just high.
Yeah.
Her husband, Daryl Brown, is our local man witch.
That's man witch with two N's. Thank you. Thank you very much.
TM, please don't sue us.
As opposed to all the other man witches around there.
Now the sloppy joke.
You know, I got to keep it straight. You never know. Yeah.
Well, we're going to be talking about stuff today, but I'm going to let Lisa take it away.
So you guys, I just wanted to tell you a little bit about if today you're listening to this, tomorrow we will be live with Robbie and Ellen Solve the Case on their About Damn Crime episode. It will be airing tomorrow. So if you are not a Patreon member of theirs, it's only $1 to listen to, $1 per month. You can cancel afterwards or keep going because you loved it so much, which you probably will. But wanted just to let you know that that's where we're going to be. We also wanted to kind of give you the backstory on how we got to be a part of their show. After, when you hear this recording, you will have already listened to, we will have already recorded the show, but you haven't listened to it yet.
Yeah, I would like to just interject quickly, and I'm sorry,
you're
just
fine.
For, people listen to this show at all different times. We're recording on the 18th. The show is going to come out Thursday, September 26th.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I just wanted to clarify that because their tomorrow might be different than our tomorrow.
That's
yesterday.
True. Yes. Yeah. So so go back 3 days and then step forward 6 years. And then if you're listening to this in 2025, you missed it.
And
too late.
Do the time warp as well.
That's right. Sorry, Lisa, please.
So we're recording the show right now on September 18th. We will be recording with Robbie and Ellen on the 23rd of September, and it will come out to the public on the 26th.
Perfect.
Okay. That being said, we wanted to tell, again, the story behind how this all happened. So I was listening to... So Robbie and Ellen Solve the Case is one of my favorite podcasts. I've always been a huge, huge fan of Robbie Achatry. And when I found out that she was doing a podcast with Ellen Marsh, I knew that it would be a great... kind of an odd couple podcast. Kind of a... the funny meets the serious and everything. And I actually, to be honest with you, Danica Woolard is the one who told me about their podcast. She's like, did you know that Ellen and Robbie are doing a podcast together? Which is funny because we talked about them like they're our friends, which hopefully they will be. So I was listening to their podcast and I went to listen to the newest episode and it said our last episode. And I was like, what the heck? So I listened to it. Basically, they had a really, really interesting episode about the fact that they were going to a Patreon-only podcast because they had been dealing with some really, really bad podcasting companies and they weren't getting paid. They were doing all the commercials they were supposed to do. They were doing all the episodes. They had the numbers that they were supposed to. And the podcasting company that they were with, the network they were with, kept kind of screwing them over. And then, without them even knowing, sold it to another company who, in turn, again, didn't pay them. It was a big whole schmeal. They kind of decided between the two of them that we're not getting paid anyways. Let's try this, because they get around $150,000, give or take, 150,000 listeners per month.
So, almost as many as ours.
Yeah. I mean, it's like three less. So their thought was, if we make, we go behind a paywall and have, like, even if every person only pays us a dollar, we will still make enough money to, you know, continue. make ends meet and continue. And I know that that sounds like a lot of money, because if you divide that by two, let's say half of their people, let's say only 50,000 people pay a dollar. They, you know, $50,000 a month is really good. Divided by two, $25,000 a month is actually still really good. Mm-hmm. But they have producers and, you know, they have all this stuff. So now they're not going to be doing, there's no commercials in any of their podcasts because they're not getting paid for that. So they're just paying their crew themselves. It's great. Perfect.
Kind of mirroring themselves over our setup.
They did. Yeah. They were like, what would Good Witch, Bad Witch do?
Exactly.
Yeah. And they all got bracelets.
WGWBWD.
Right. Yeah.
Yabba zabba do.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's not. Okay.
Will you clarify something else for me, too?
Absolutely.
And I don't know if you're getting here. Is the name of their podcast Ellen and Robbie Solve the Case, and then About Damn Crime, is that a segment, or is that their motto?
Catchphrase.
So, that's a really good question.
Thank you.
The name of the podcast is Robbie and Ellen Solve the Case. But every single, so what they do is, 1 week they have a guest who's a celebrity guest, mm-hmm. and they usually have some pretty big people. Patton Oswalt mm-hmm. has been on there. I'm Margaret Cho has been on there. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head.
People we've heard of.
Yes. And stuff. So they have them. Those people bring a case to Ellen and Rabia.
Okay.
And say, what do you think actually really happened? And so they, air quotes, solve the case.
Okay.
With their
expertise and research.
Yeah, and then with their guests. And they really do a lot of research. They're very, very good at their researching. That's twice a month. Every other week, they have a segment called About Damn Crime,
okay,
where they don't have a guest, and it's just the two of them who bring case to light.
Okay.
So Ellen brings one, Robbie brings one. Neither one of them know what the other one's going to bring.
Cool.
And they talk about it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they pick the same case, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
But so that's where we're going to be on the one. We will be their guest for About Damn Crime. So instead of one of them bringing a case, it's going to be us bringing the case.
Oh, cool.
So after I had listened to why they had decided to go behind the paywall and all of that stuff, they started talking about their different Patreon tiers. And if you guys are patrons, you already understand this. You pay different amounts for different levels and different things. So let's say with Good Witch, Bad Witch at $5, you just get to listen to the extra shows and watch the content. For $10, you get a sticker and a t-shirt or whatever. I don't really know. I'd have to have that in front of me. $20, you get to sit on Daryl's lap for Christmas. I'm not really sure how that works.
We were going to let that cat out of the bag.
There goes our ratings up. I'm canceling my subscription.
They're like, I'm going down a tier.
Boy, I got to drop down to five.
This is mandatory.
Right.
I don't want to get nowhere near the man with two hands lap.
So they apparently, Patreon used to only have three levels. Apparently, they've opened them up to more now. And they started telling about their levels and what you would get. And I'm still just listening because I'm driving to work, and all mm-hmm. this is very interesting because I'm a podcaster, right?
Right.
And so their dollar level, you get to listen to four a month. At the $5 level, you get to listen to eight episodes a month. At, you know, whatever. And then there's different things. Then they started getting into some bigger numbers. And what caught my eye was they had a level that you could pay for. And with that, there were two things. First of all, you get a shout out on every one of their podcasts, and you can shout out anything you want. So if I want to say, go Broncos or yay Avalanche, you know, or whatever, Lisa says, Lisa from Commerce City says, go Avalanche. My whole thought was, if we paid this money, we could also, we could say, listen to Good Witch, Bad Witch every single week on a podcast that has 175,000 billion mm-hmm. listeners. So that was, you know, that was the money part of me. Or not money, but the
self-promoting.
Self-promoting part of me. Mm-hmm. Then I heard that at this level that it was, if you did it, you could be a guest on About Damn Crime.
Mm-hmm.
So I have never had a light bulb go on over my head, and I don't think anybody was there, but I'm pretty sure if somebody was, they would have thought it was just like, bing. So then it was really funny because the first person I called was Shelley, and I was like, okay, do we have this amount of money in our Patreon fund? And she said, we do. Mm-hmm. And stuff. Well, she said, well, we will at the beginning of the month.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was like, I go, okay, so hear me out on this. I think I go, and so then I just told her everything I told you guys. And I said, my thought is, why don't we go on About Damn Crime and talk about the American Elm tragedy? Because it's our friend who was hurt or well murdered at there, and we, if the case has been unsolved, they being the great researchers that they are, and also having clout with other people and this and that, and also to bring it to a national level, mm-hmm. so that a bunch of people can hear about this case, because somebody knows something. We all say that, but it's the truth.
Yeah, it could anywhere.
It could be anywhere. The person mm-hmm. could be in freaking New York, or mm-hmm. you know, Afghanistan.
This case is sounding awfully familiar with the guy at the bar drinking the other night was telling me about.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So if we could bring light to a case on a national podcast, could we use our Patreon money to become a Patreon member at the level that we can get on the show? And Shelley said, yeah, here's my credit card. Yeah, here you go. And stuff. Well, here's the Patreon credit card, as the case may be. And I was like, that's amazing. Called Danica, asked her if she would be on the show, because Danica is Emerald's sister. And if you listen to our show, I totally just spaced out the name of it.
I can't remember. Wish
you
were
should be here.
You should be here.
Yeah. Danica's on the show You Should Be Here, where we talk about Emeril and Nacho. Let's not forget that he lost his life as well. And so Good Witch, Bad Witch and Danica Willard are going to be on Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case. So put it on your playlist. And that is the story behind it. We would like to thank our Patreon members for fronting us the money in order to be able to do this.
And what a good feeling, though, if something does come out of this and they do figure this out and everything. Just think you're part of that.
Yes,
you're part of helping solve a crime and put somebody that needs to be put away.
Exactly. So we thank our Patreon members 100%.
And not only for that, we thank you for everything you do for us. And these new shoes I got, they're great.
He's lying. He doesn't have any new shoes.
Well, once you get rid of money and give money to somebody, it's a gift. And you can't say, oh, well, I lent you this money. And then, you know, you went and bought a bunch of candy or Bush Light or whatever. Yeah. You can't do that. But with this, we really want to have you know and feel good about where your money is going.
Right.
It, you know, it usually just goes to help us with, you know, costs and whatever. We did spend it on one fun thing once, Paul's birthday and Casa Bonita. But in general, it just goes towards the show. Well, this is so cool. Lisa, what a brilliant idea.
Thank you.
And right place, right time, and for putting it into action. But now the Patreon can be a part of this with us
mm-hmm.
and help on a national level to get more eyes on the case. So anyway, great job, Lisa. That's awesome. And I know that Daryl and Paul, the Tech Witch, have been working overtime to make sure that the recording goes really well on our end,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully we make you guys proud.
Yeah, and that being said as well, We're really upping our Patreon, which is great because they are our best listeners and best supporters. But there is another way that you can support us, because we're going to take this a little bit farther to where we are going to. This is a big announcement. You guys want a drum roll?
I'm really bad at it.
Yeah. That's our chicken roll. We are
chicken
going.
Roll.
I knew somebody was going to say something. That's a new kind of sushi.
It was delicious. It was the chicken. Try the chicken roll, babe. They're great.
So our big announcement now, and this goes with the live show and all the stuff, is that we're going to be having a huge live show on October 25th. It'll be like kind of a spooky Halloween vibe. It's going to be your witches doing some improv and doing some really fun stuff. And the proceeds will be going to not only help funding the Robbie and Ellen show, but also anything left over will go towards Emerald's son's college fund, since he has been left with a single father. And it'll be a great thing to be able to give to him for a
great cause. Yeah.
Yeah. A guy, that poor little guy who lost his mom at 12 years old. We're doing a silent live auction.
Silently live.
And we need donations for that. We already have some really, really cool stuff. Jen Bates is giving a reading and a facial, not together, two separate things, unless you want to combine them. But
I see you've got wrinkles around your eyes.
And of course, Legends will be doing stuff. We have a Good Witch, Bad Witch basket. This is all really, really new, but we have a lot of things on the horizon, probably a bunch of gift cards to different places venues, to eat and stuff like that. So if anybody wants to donate to the live auction? Nope, it won't be a live auction at all. It'll be silent. If you want to donate to that, that would be awesome. And if you want to go to the live show, it's $20. We will have an Eventbrite QR or whatever. Shelley?
We'll probably put it up, like a link, up on the Good Witch, Bad Witch podcast group page on Facebook. And if Instagram. I can coordinate, yes, and Instagram. And if I can coordinate with our web person, I'll see if I can get a link on the website as well, goodwitch-badwitch.com. But yeah, where you could donate there, buy tickets. And
tickets in advance will be $20, yes, and $25 at the door, which will be at the Elks, the Arvada Elks, which is on Ralston Road and Yukon, I think.
Yep, exactly. So, and the proceeds from the tickets also go towards the event. We are not profiting from this in any way.
Nope, not at all.
Nope, this all goes towards the case. So anyway, Lisa, you're a badass, and thank you, Manwich, and TechWitch for helping out so much with this and coordinating it. I think it's going to be really fun to listen.
Be great fun.
Not that crime is funny, and especially in this, for instance, but I think it'll be fascinating, to hear how professionals do it.
That'd
actually
be weird.
turn a profit.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see how she goes. I think it's going to be a really positive thing, and we might be the ones to crack the case.
You never know.
Yeah.
We're coming up on our fourth year. Aren't we almost going?
We are in our fourth year.
We're not pro yet.
No, we're coming up on our 200th episode. I think that's the one where we get it right.
I love
that's where we get it right.
What's that?
It's called the 200th episode where we get it right.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Cool.
Well, that's.
Go. You go.
See there? Professionals.
Thank you for that, Lisa. That's amazing. We're going to be back with the meat of the program. Again, we're talking about slip of the lips. You guys are going to get the giggles.
Okay, let's lip it up.
Welcome back, witches. Thank you for coming back and listening to the rest of this show after I just verbally babbled forever. But thank you again for listening. We are talking about famous slips of the lip, and I went kind of down the rabbit hole with this. What Do you guys know what a Freudian slip is?
Yeah.
Okay. So what it is one of the most famous... Oh, hold on. No, that's not what it is at all. So a Freudian slip is an unintentional error regarded as revealing subconscious feelings.
Oh.
So it's like you say something, but it's because you actually were thinking it.
Yep.
And it was like Sigmund Freud. That's why it's called Freudian. Okay. So I have the some of the most famous Freudian slips.
Okay.
So people who said things that you, they're like, were you really thinking that? McCain, who was Senator McCain,
yeah.
He was, while stumping on the campaign trail for Mitt Romney, the senator said, "I am confident with the leadership and the backing of the American people, President Obama will turn this country around." He was campaigning for Mitt Romney, not Obama.
Good one, though. So, what an endorsement.
Yeah, he meant to endorse Romney, but Obama's worried his way into the senator's brain after he did that.
That's hilarious.
It does say, I don't know if you guys care about this, but the aftermath, an aide informed McCain of his gaffe and he corrected himself and moved on. Uh-huh. But still, it made people question if McCain was really as confident in Romney as president as he said he was.
Right. Whose side are you on anyway?
Right. Seriously.
Nice one.
Do you guys want to go around or do you want me to? Let me read them all because
yeah,
this is all Freudian.
You're on a roll. Love it. Yeah.
So Heather Locklear. What she said was, while making an appearance on Live with Regis and Kelly, the Melrose Place star was talking about her bedroom and accidentally said the name of her ex-husband, Tommy Lee, instead of her current husband, Richie Sambora.
Oh!
there was a let out a string of expletives before Regis smartly cut to commercial. What she meant to say, obviously she meant to say Sambora, all of those 80... hair band metal guys run together, you know, and stuff, whatever. The aftermath, she freaked out, but Reaches handled the whole thing with his usual aplomb.
Aplomb,
yep. What's that mean?
Aplomb.
Oh, it's just like he took it smooth.
His little wittiness, yeah.
Like duck off, water off a duck's back. Duck mm-hmm. off a water back.
I will never use that in a sentence.
You only use it in that way, pretty
okay.
much. Handled with aplomb. Like gracefully, just let it go.
Okay, well, yeah. That nice. Just went in one
Yeah, because he could have been back and said, also, how is Tommy doing?
Exactly.
Yeah, that would be just so Regis, you know?
Yeah. Right.
That's so Regis.
So Regis.
Okay. The next one is Willie Geist. You guys know who he is?
Huh.
Mm-hmm. He's a commentator. He's on the Today Show, and he has his own show now, too.
Okay.
What he said was when he was introducing Amanda Siegfried mm-hmm. on the Today Show, he referred to her as Titsy.
Oh.
As what?
Titsy.
Titsy.
Yeah.
Titsy Freud.
What he meant to say is he meant to say that she played a ditzy character in Mean Girls. Oh. But still, yikes.
Eyes up here, buddy.
Yeah. So let's see.
That's
here.
A titsy move. Yeah. You know there's ballsy moves?
Yeah,
that's a
yeah.
titsy
yeah.
move.
Yeah. He's like, you just are so titsy, aren't you? Oh, I mean, my boobs. I mean, the flesh is, what?
I mean, chest, breast.
Young girl. Okay. Next one is Allison Janney, who I love.
Yes.
What she said at the Elle Magazine party to honor Octavia Spencer, Allison Janney gave a speech, and for some reason it began with, "The first time I ever entered her." What she meant to say was, "The first time I entered her orbit," but for some reason forgot to say the rest of the sentence.
What if she said, "The first time I entered her orifice"?
Yeah, that would have even been worse. Apparently, Emma Stone made fun of Janney and everybody had a good laugh, and so it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, that's good times. These are rich.
Yeah.
The last one I have is Jennifer Lawrence, who I love. She said, while discussing her lack of relationship, she said, "I don't feel like there's a hole that needs to be filled." What she meant to say was, she made the comment, she clarified, an emotional void to be filled. My dad's here. Yeah, so...
there is a hole, not my hole.
I think what she was really trying to say, she was going to word from Shelley, like, "I like to sleep at night."
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Is Tommy Lee here?
Yeah.
I've got a hole I need filled.
So those were some of the best Freudian
those are great, Lise. Way to go.
Yes.
Those are good.
Thanks. That was impressive. I went in totally another way. Do you want to be the meat in the middle?
I'll
we
be
can
the
get
middle
a man's
meat.
Middle meat. Do it, man, witch.
Meet me in the middle. So back when I was a kid, and I remember the night that this happened, we were watching Monday Night Football.
Uh-huh.
And Howard Cosell was the commentator back then. I'm aging myself right now, so you know how old I was, but how old I am now. But Howard Cosell had accidentally said, this kid broke off for this long run.
Uh-huh.
And Howard Cosell said, look at that little monkey run.
I remember this.
And yep. Everybody in the booth was like, oh my. Well, they didn't really, they let it kind of go. So then a little bit later, what he said was, you know, that's what I call my grandkids, is little monkeys. He goes, right. He's a young kid. He goes, I was referring him to him as I was greeting him, almost like I would greet my grandkids. He goes, he's not a racial man, of course, because
right. Him, God, and Muhammad Ali were best friends.
Yeah. But, you know, just that ruined his career. Yeah. I mean, he was done with that after that.
Right.
And then these sports guys, I'm like, what are you doing? You know, you got to really mind your P's and Q's. Oh, Jimmy the Greek, he was another guy that was a football commentator and stuff.
Uh-huh.
He came out and said that the blacks were a superior breed to whites because they had more muscles in their legs so they could run faster and jump higher.
Okay.
Yeah. On live TV, he says this. No.
He's not a doctor.
Not a geneticist or whatever.
Not wearing it very well. We're talking about that one, you know. But
it's just like you have one job. Come on, guys.
Yeah, just mind your P's and Q's and get through it, you know. Jeez. But like I said, this one, it was funny. This was a famous one. Oh, John Travolta. He flubbed Idina Menzel's name and called her Adele Dazeem. And they're like, who the heck's that even?
It was almost dyslexic.
But and the way that he even said it, he's like, the same.
It was like he was drunk. It was kind of weird. Yeah, I remember seeing it. And I was like, who is he talking about?
Oh my God.
Goodness. Yeah. But yeah, there's one that just came out, and I wasn't even going to say it, but you know, everybody's got to say it now. And they're eating the pets.
I was going to say it, but
it's just everywhere, and it's the funniest freaking thing. I'm like, good God, but you know, they're eating the cats.
Yes.
They're eating the pets.
And no matter which side you're on, if you're on a side, you know, I always preach like a policy over person. I'm not impressed with anybody that's working right now.
Yeah.
With that debate, he fucked the dog so bad, so to speak, and just he lost that thing. And it's just like, okay, all nights of your life, think about what you're saying.
Why would you even say anything like that? And like I said, it's the biggest meme right now. It's everywhere. So I had to kind of throw that one in there. But that's about all I have for my thing. I had something funny I'll say later in the other part of the show about something that Lisa's dad said to me once.
Well, Daryl, I have a question for you about one of them on my list, because I just assumed that you were going to discuss it.
Okay.
Roseanne, first of all, was one that we were going to talk about, and I want you guys to explain that story because I forgot it already. And then also your girlfriend, Paula Deen.
Paula Deen.
So let's talk about slips of the lips and context and all that other stuff, because this is right up your alley
How much I don't even give her 15 minutes of fame anymore. Damn it.
But what did she say? I forgot. Paula Deen? It something about her staff?
To be honest with you, I don't remember. I thought it was racially...
I thought that she said that when she threw parties at her house or something, that she had a colored staff or something like that. Something about the staff being black, and it turned out what she meant was... You know, where she grew up in the South or whatever, when she grew up, the staff was that, or that they were great cooks or something.
That was just a part of the way that she was raised in the South, was you had black people as certain people that worked for you and stuff. But yeah, I think she said it even in a worse way. And then something also, I think she said that that's where she learned how to make her famous fried chicken.
Right. And it may have been the N-word. It may have been misconstrued. And it could have been taken out of context. Yeah. I don't want to say I'm pro or anti-Paula Deen, except for because I don't
butter.
Well, I'm pro better, and she is, of course, a great cook, and her skin is gorgeous. But I remember she was in hot water for a while.
Yeah,
that was a slip of the lip.
Yeah.
But what was the Roseanne deal? Wasn't it similar?
She called a senator, I think, or something.
U.S. senator.
She said she looked like one of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah,
and she was
a black lady,
African American.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and she goes, but they tried to play that off too, that she was on some pills and this and that. She shouldn't even been talking. I'm like, well, once again, know what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah, you have one job. Just watch your P's and Q's.
It's hard with comedians is that I think they're always, and me being one, just kidding, you're always going for the laugh.
Sure.
So, and usually stand-up comics don't get berated for things that they say.
Because it's scripted. You know, they write things and that are even, I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Fine.
But like equal opportunity offensiveness or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I love really smart offensive comics, even if they're calling me a ginger clown or whatever.
Right.
And because they're funny because it's true. Comedy is pain.
You
all
are
of those
a
things.
Clown too.
Exactly. Yeah. But with that was such a weird thing to say. But with Roseanne, you know, of course it wasn't a scripted part of her bit.
Right.
It wasn't, you know, she wasn't trying to hurt anybody's feelings, and maybe that's not even what she meant. And this is so true of anything at any time right now.
Yeah.
In this technology, we may see 10 seconds of a 3-minute speech
right.
that somebody said where, you know, they end up giving $5 million to puppy rescues or
right.
whatever.
Right.
But they're calling the athletes monkeys, and that's problematic also.
Well,
of course.
They're just monkeys because they have an extra muscle.
Silly as like, those two
right,
guys are probably
right.
going,
yes.
What
and that's
we
why
thinking?
The show is slip of the lip, because these are not,
right.
They're accidental.
But it is funny how many people that it did cancel them.
Yeah.
And that's
mm-hmm.
just, you know, I'm not pro or anti Roseanne. I think she's fine. I liked her show.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. I don't, you know, whatever. She's not huge on my list.
Yeah.
But I think that they went a little bit overboard with that whole thing. And the fact mm-hmm. that completely and totally what looks like ruined her career for
right.
she's
yeah, where'd
back.
She go?
She's got her own another show going on now.
Okay, oh, good. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Where's that?
I think it's going to come out. You'll have
oh, it's
going to
come out.
It's going to come out. Yeah.
Because okay, I was like, I haven't heard of it. So.
Yeah.
And she's hotter than Madonna right now. She's a good looking lady.
Really?
Crazy
you know
enough, yeah.
You know what's funny is that it seems like some of the, and the, we're going off the cuff
fine.
Here.
But, it's not hamburgers. We're good.
But some of the women that were so beautiful back then, it's like everybody switched. I don't know if it's because like people who weren't as beautiful when they were younger let the process come naturally.
Right.
And then they just became a beautiful older woman, as where the beautiful women like Madonna felt like she had to plump up or this and or that and or this
right.
and over-plumped.
Yep, yep, she sure did.
Yeah.
I don't know
Curve
what happened
plumped.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, or it could just be the difference of a good versus bad plastic surgeons.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
And makeup or skincare regimen.
All yeah. the things.
Yeah.
But to your point that you're not pro or anti Roseanne, I am anti cancel culture. It's like, yes, we need to call people out for bad behavior. I'm not saying that everybody should just be able to go offending people willy nilly.
Mm-hmm.
But we also, yes, you need to watch what you say, but you fuck up sometimes.
Yes. That's
and you know,
true.
And if you get an opportunity to apologize and it's sincere and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. But sometimes shit's just funny. You're right.
Yeah.
Also.
Well, yeah. And again, you should be able to think about it later, especially with stuff like podcasting and,
right.
and things like that, that if you do say something that you can apologize for it later, sincerely.
Absolutely.
If you really are, or stand behind
go.
What you say.
Yeah, let
right.
It, let it
you
break.
Know, but it, yeah, just it, cancel culture sucks. I think that's true too. I mean,
yeah.
again, sometimes it's good. I guess that's the way it is with everything.
With always.
Yeah.
But yeah, I we're not one of those podcasts that find being hurtful as a practice funny.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while.
Every once in a while.
I hear somebody's feelings,
you
and,
know.
And I'm not mad about it.
Yeah.
You just never know what's going to come up.
Coming from a ginger clown.
Yeah.
And some people need their feelings hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So true.
All right. Did you have something, Daryl?
Oh, no. I was,
okay.
What you got next?
I got some things. Okay. So I really like how we decided to do this mid-show, because Lisa's things were really cool. Daryl's things were really cool. Mine are more of a hodgepodge. But the most famous one to me, and I don't know if this counts as a slip of the lip or a blooper or both, but the most famous one of all times in my head is from the game show Newlywed Game. Oh. And they're like, hey, where's the most unusual place you made whoopee?
Yeah.
In the butt, Bob.
Yeah.
It's my
butt,
favorite
Bob.
Of all time. It's
yeah.
my favorite. Brian sent me, and I'll send you guys this clip, but it's maybe from the 80s. There's a CNN show person, a host, that was taking live calls about something, perhaps some war or skirmish. And anyway, some guy calls in, and he's like, am I live, Phil, or whatever his name is? And he's like, yes. And the guy goes, fuck. And you can't edit or nothing because it's live. He goes, thanks, and hangs up.
He
just wanted to say fuck on TV. And then the host's like, thanks. And it hangs up because he's just had it. He's fucking had it.
Right.
And that one made
and
me
that
laugh.
Guy has his own podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. Probably. On Anchorman, did you guys ever watch that? Did we get there?
Daryl's seen it. I've seen clips of it.
I love it. Daryl and I have the same taste comedies and stuff. But so the main character is Ron Burgundy. He's a 70s, he's an anchorman, obviously, like the title. But he's drinks scotch in the morning. He's slutty before he falls in love with the Christina Aguilera character. I do that every week.
A slip of the lip there.
We talk about Christina Applegate a lot. I guess I just wanted to give Christina Aguilera
She deserves some love, folks.
Anyway, so the point is, he's a dipshit, but he really thinks he's hot shit.
Yeah.
And he's so dumb that he can't, you know, read the own news and make up. Like, he has a tagline at the end that's, "Stay classy, San Diego." Right. That's his sign off.
Right.
Well, Christina Applegate's character is mad at him, so she changed the teleprompter to say, "Go fuck yourself, San Diego."
And he just read it.
He just reads it.
Yeah, because he's always just reads what's going on.
What he did. He's like tapping his paper, doop, 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 doop. You know, he's just like, has no idea what happened. And of course, the whole town goes nuts and he loses his job, et cetera, et cetera. But go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Oh, that is so funny.
So good. So this other newscaster lady, Nina Hossain from ITV News in the UK, states in a story, said, by the age of 10, I don't know why I made her sound like My Fair Lady. Hold on. By the age of 10, 50% of kids, really, it sounds like Kids in the Hall. And they're Canadian. By the age of 10, 50% of children own a fart phone.
Fart? You kind of sound like Sharon Osbourne.
Oh, you own a fart phone?
I think she meant smartphone. Is
yeah,
my point.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Okay, this is what I thought we were going to talk about the whole time, and why we decided to do the show was Paula Deen.
Oh, yeah.
She was the ultimate lip slipper.
Oh, yeah?
She was a slipper of the lipper.
Yeah, she was.
Yep.
We already talked about Paula Deen, though.
Oh, shit.
It's okay.
Okay, we'll go back.
Go to George Bush.
Okay, yeah. And nip slips. Guys, pages and pages of nip slips. I was looking for slips of the lip, and all I kept finding was nip slips.
Nip slips.
But if you want to find celebrity nipple slipples, the internet's full of them.
Yeah?
Yeah, just so you know.
How exciting.
G.W. Bush. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. The best lip slipper of all times. He said a word like, "Hey, don't misunderestimate me." That's not real.
That's not real.
He also said, "I'll be long gone before some smart person figures out what happens inside this Oval Office," which to me insinuates that he's not smart at all. He doesn't know what went in.
Or he knows everything that happens and he doesn't care.
Yeah.
Until after he's dead. He's like, "When they figure it out, I'll already be dead."
Exactly. Or yeah. I just left the building.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This is my favorite. This is the one. Okay. So he says, and I quote, "Too many good docs are getting out of the business. Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across the country." That doesn't sound good.
No, that doesn't sit very well. I got to glove up for some loving up.
I don't think when they got their licenses, they're like, "I just want to practice my love. I just want to put my love in you."
Some of them do.
Maybe so, I guess.
Yeah, there's been some icky ones.
I guess.
That's crazy.
Can we talk about our own taken out of context things?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Okay.
Please.
And this is really bad. And as far as me being dumb, but out of touch and late behind new easy language. And I guess you just get used to something like the master bedroom thing and stuff. And of course, we call it something else and we should and blah, blah, blah. But I told you about the eye slaves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back about 100 and some episodes. But I don't know what the thing was. I was talking about my glasses or something. I couldn't find my readers, I think. And I was like, "Oh, they're my..." I don't even know what I was trying to say, but they're like my eye slaves just because, like, I need them to work for me. I don't know. It was the weirdest chain of events in my head, and it was terrible and wrong, and I was saying it to a Black person who was coming to help me, and I, like, everything I said was so bad and dumb that I just, like, I couldn't even apologize, because then I would admit that I knew how dumb I was, which is also fine. But anyway, I let it ride, and I wish I hadn't. I'm apologizing publicly right now. But then the other slave thing, which I think I discovered at that same show many shows ago. So we had at Blake Street Tavern 69 TVs. And yes, I did say 69. But they're inside, outside, whatever. But for whatever reason, with, I think it was DirecTV, based upon your capacity and or your square footage, you could only have a certain amount of receivers. And so let's say we had 69 TVs and 50 receivers or something like that. So some of the TVs would be mirrors of each other. If I changed one, the other one would change. So let's say if somebody's watching a football game, they're like, can you change this TV for me? I'm like, I would, but it would change this one over here. And somebody's watching that already, so I cannot. Well, as I was explaining that to somebody, I explained it as it was explained to me, which in my head was just TV talk and not hateful speech. And I said, well, it's on a slave receiver, so it can't. And now they're... shared receiver. It's that easy to say that. They have the same box. So anyway, those are my dumbest ones. Although just a quickie. I'm so sorry. This isn't nearly as bad. But so, you know, now that I'm corporate and stuff, I got on a call with HR yesterday. Two lovely young women that are very competent and everything else that were checking in with me in my new job to see how everything was going. And it was a nice conversation. And at the end, I said, you gals have a groovy afternoon. I called them gals. And I don't know if you're supposed to do that. I think I should have said ladies, women, you two. I know I should have said broads, which I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't say chicks.
I think you're fine.
Is gals okay?
Gals is fine. I say hey.
I would say yes.
How you gals doing? Yeah.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, you're good.
What about girls?
You girls?
Because yeah. They're women.
Well, that's kind of, that's a little.
I think you're overthinking it.
Maybe so.
Yeah. Well, no, I just think it's worth repeating because I have it down here. You have to talk about the job interview one again. I know we talked about it before, but where you messed up, it's the only time you've messed up on a job interview.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was interviewing for 911 dispatcher in Arvada 25 years ago, something like that. It was a long, long time ago. And it was the only job that I've ever interviewed for that I didn't get, I think. And it was also in front of a panel. So I had to do a test, like an honesty ethics test. You know, have you ever stolen office supplies? By office supplies, have you ever stolen a pencil? Have you ever stolen a paperclip? Have you ever whatever? And it was very repetitive. And they're trying to catch you in a, just to see if your ethics are slippery or whatever, or fluid, or if you're paying attention. I'm not sure. But so anyway, then I get in front of the panel and they're all asking me similar type questions. And the point I was trying to get across to them is that it is very important to me that I have strength of character. And my favorite quote is, character is who you are when no one is watching. And so what I meant to say was, well, you know, I like to be able to sleep at night because with a clean conscience, right?
Right, yeah.
And then I also, in my head, before it came out of my mouth, wanted to say, well, I like to be able to look myself in the mirror, you know, just again, that clean conscience thing. And what came out to this panel of 10 people is, I like to look in the mirror at night. At the end of the day, that's all I want to do. You guys can take these emergency phone calls. I'm just looking at the mirror. I like it. I like to look at the mirror at night. At night, the lighting's better. I'm better looking.
And unfortunately, only the night shift was open.
Yeah. They're like, gosh.
So,
she's too busy looking in the mirror, that little egotist.
She's going to be looking in the mirror the whole time.
That was my biggest slip of the lip, I think.
I think that the only one I could, and God knows there has to be many, but the one that I can think of the most where I just thought I was going to die afterwards was I had met up with this guy who I really liked and didn't know if he liked me or not. And we had always like done like go to the bar kind of thing. So it was never like a date.
Yeah.
And after we were like, he was walking me to my car, whatever, this and that. He said, you know, maybe sometime we should go to the movies. And I got so overwhelmed because I felt, oh my God, he's asking me out. I said, I like movies.
And that's go with you.
A special voice. Get popcorn.
I like movies.
I like movies.
I like go to the movies. And then watch the movie.
Poor Lisa.
And then the craziest part about the whole thing was that he goes,
I like movie too.
No, he just goes, okay then. And like walked away. But my friend was with me, my friend Julie, and we got in the car and I was just sitting there like thinking about it for a second and hoping that nobody else, I was like thinking maybe he didn't hear it the way I heard it and I don't know. And Julie looked over at me and she goes, I like movie too. I was like, oh God, no. She heard it. So I know he heard it.
It's real.
Yeah. Anyways, that was my big one.
Okay. No, it bears repeating. A little church incident, perhaps?
Sign of peace? This is another one that we we've talked about before, but it was just, oh, good God. So, you know, being Catholic or whatever, we went to the full mass or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And there was this really cute guy. It always happens to me when I should just, like, try not to flirt, which actually would be a good thing since
yeah,
I'm
you should probably
married,
not try
too.
To flirt. Yeah.
I'm right here. I like flirt, too.
Yeah.
I like movie, Dad.
Daryl would be a little concerned if you had game.
I'm like, wow, okay.
But I never have had game. So there's oh, this, she had I'm game. Probably 15.
Okay.
And there's this kid, and he was in front of me, and I was looking at him the whole time, and I was like, when we, you know, shake hands and give the sign of the peace to everybody, I'm going to actually, because I was at the aisle, he was at the aisle, I'm going to go up there and give him the sign of peace.
Okay.
And so it was the time I walked up, and I said, peace be with you.
Be with you, huh? Be with you,
and
too.
He just said...
Yeah, okay, Mrs. Fudd.
With
okay,
you.
Yeah, he said... I like movie. No, he didn't say that. I don't know what he said. But yeah, it didn't work out.
Oh, my gosh. Mine, my
meet cute.
My most memorable one, it's not really even a flub or anything. I'm still kind of taken aback by it. But years ago, I mean, me and Lisa, we had first started dating and stuff. I think is when I maybe even had just first moved into your place with you at your parents' house. Mm-hmm. And we were looking for stuff to eat. And Lisa goes, well, we've got a can of these tamales. And her dad pipes up and goes, oh, he looks like a guy that's eaten many a can of tamales.
What the hell does that mean?
We still don't know.
I looked at Lisa and go, does he think I'm Mexican?
Or fat?
Or poor.
Or poor that all I can eat is canned tamales?
So many.
We just didn't know anything. I was like, what does
that
even like, mean?
That could go in so many different directions.
It really could.
Yeah.
But needless
the day
to say.
That we figure out Mike Pavich's.
Yeah.
That's true, too.
That one still comes back to me. I'll be in the store and I'll look over and canned tamales. What the fuck does that even mean?
Well, my dad also told Daryl one time was taking a shower, and
I had taken a shower, but I left a beer. I always drink a beer in the shower, but they had one of those sliding glass door ones with a little ledge up there. Uh-huh. Well, you know, I left my beer cap up there. So her dad was in the bathroom, and, you know, he's a tall guy, and he could see that. Well, he comes out of the bathroom with this beer cap, and he goes, you don't drink beer in the shower, do you? And I go, oh, yeah, I sure do. Because I worked a swing shift, so everybody's in bed by the time I got home. I was, you know, late. I go, oh, I sure do. I said, it's the best beer of the the day or whatever. He goes, that can't possibly be safe.
We still use that. Every time we do something, we'll look at each other and go, that can't possibly be safe.
Oh, yeah.
A Mike Pavichism is one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
I tell you.
Oh, my gosh. If you guys ever crack the code with that tamale thing, let me know.
Seriously.
I don't think we're going to, but oh, geez.
All right. Do you guys want to be back with Nip Slips?
I mean, Richard, talk about.
Yep.
Shh. Don't talk too much. Shh. Don't know too much. Jack. Don't be too hip, cause a slip of the lip might sink a ship. Shh, don't see too much, boy. Don't jive too much, Jack. Don't be so hip, cause a slip of the lip might sink a ship.
If one guy throws the switch, we all die. Nothing we can do. Talking about whatever everybody's talking about. Let's talk about.
Hi, witches. Welcome back. If you were ever wondering to yourself, I wonder what the witches are talking about, this is a part of the show you fast forward to find out. We have news articles or perhaps experiences from our lives that we'd like to share with you that have nothing to do with the former show. It's just like, it's a snippet.
A snippet.
It's a snippet about what we're talking about. And yeah, I believe that Daryl thought of this for season 4, and I kind of love it. Was it Elisa or Daryl?
It was
Daryl,
great. It's great. So with that being said, Daryl, what are you talking about?
What you talking about? Well, guys, you're not going to believe this, but you guys remember the turtles from Rocky? Cliff and Link? Or Cuff and Link?
Oh, yeah,
remember,
yeah.
Remember Cuff and Link?
Yes,
Cuff
yes,
Link?
Rocky
yeah.
the movie.
Yeah, the movie Rocky, yeah. Cuff and Link. They are 50 now.
Wow.
What?
And, yep,
happy birthday, turtles.
They are 50 now. Their last appearance was in 2018.
Yeah.
They were 44 then, and they were in the Creed 2 movie.
The same exact one.
Same exact turtles. Sylvester Stallone, when he filmed Rocky in 1976, took the fish.
They're not fish, they're turtles.
I mean, he took the fish. Yeah, see, there's a slip.
Yeah.
He took the turtles. And, okay. and how people take stuff off a set. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he took the turtles and kept them and has them still to this day. These turtles can live up to be 80 years old, so they may outlive Sylvester Stallone. Mm.
That's amazing.
But I just think, because I'm a turtle guy, and they're the same kind of turtle that Amy is, so it's near and dear to my heart. But I seen that, and I go, Cuff and Link, they're 50.
That's amazing.
So also, the crazy thing is, they're actually more than that, because Amy, I've had her for 15 years.
Yeah, I think so.
And they say to double, because when I took her to the vet when she was sick, he goes, she's actually 30.
Oh.
So Cuff and Link, if he's had them for 50 years, yeah, they're 100.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool.
Dude, they don't look a day over 80.
No,
huh?
They don't. Their skin looks great. Thank God.
They do have a little turtleneck going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, wrinkle necks.
But that's what you're talking about over here.
I love it. That is really interesting. What you got, Lisa?
So I have, this is from AP News. It is from September 16th, so 2 days ago. Well, or whatever. Podcasting time.
Yeah.
An 8-year-old Ohio girl drove an SUV on a solo Target run. In Bedford, Ohio, an 8-year-old girl took an SUV from her Ohio home and drove it for miles to a store where she was later found unharmed.
How old
Jesus,
was she?
Eight.
Yes!
The girl and the vehicle were reported missing at 9 a.m. Sunday. Bedford police said family members said that they had last seen the girl at the residence about 2 hours earlier. They didn't notice their 8-year-old had been gone for 2 hours.
Okay, oh, my gosh.
As police launched an investigation, they learned a small child had been spotted driving a vehicle on a nearby road. Then that vehicle could not be located. The SUV eventually was found a short time later in the parking lot of the Target, which is nearly 13 miles from her home.
Are you kidding me?
That is stellar.
And she knew the way. Police soon found the child by herself in the store. She told officers she had struck a mailbox while driving, but nothing else. Authorities did not say why she had decided to travel to the store or provide further details about her trip. Well, duh, Target. I mean, come on. The girl is too young to be charged criminally. It wasn't clear Monday if any charges would be filed in the matter at all. I'm assuming against the parents or something.
Negligence against the parents or something.
Which remains
auto?
Under.
Yeah. Parents,
I don't know.
You stole my car.
Yeah. So, anyways.
Did she get to purchase anything?
That they did not say that either.
Darn
but
it, man!
I'm gonna say she purchased some lip gloss.
That would have even been the better part of the story, that she had her mom's credit card too.
Or she just
filed for one.
Yeah. She got a Target credit card.
Yeah, I'd like to start a credit card.
Yeah.
Here's my driver's license.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah.
And only hit one mailbox.
That's not too bad.
13 miles.
At least she was honest about
it. Well, there's a good positive story coming out of Ohio.
There you go. Yes.
My deal is a very Daryl Brown specific.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yes, it's my Daryl Brown witch for the week. So this is from the Positive News Foundation. A retiree plans to fly 80 rhinoceroses to Australia to save them from extinction.
Nice.
Ray Dearlove wants to protect the breeding herds that are being poached in Africa, and he's going to send them all to Australia. So he's from South Africa, and he's got a boatload of money. So these 80 rhinos he's going to send to Australia because it'll be safer there.
Mm-hmm.
They won't be poached, and then he's going to facilitate their breeding, probably by playing some love songs.
Yeah,
maybe Air Supply.
Barry White,
Air Supply, with some champagne.
Yeah.
But guess how much it's going to cost for him to fly these rhinos to Australia?
$63.
Because he's using his frequent flyer miles.
No.
No.
Okay, it's 6,800 miles is how long he's flying them. It's $44,000 per rhino.
Wow.
And what was his name? His last name?
It was Dearlove? Yep. Ray Dearlove. D-E-A-R. Yep.
Thank you, Dearlove.
Rhino love.
Yes. I know. Yeah. But it's very cute. And yeah, we'll have to send those pictures to Amanda for the Instagram because these little rhinos are so precious. And
that
anyway,
does my heart good.
Yeah. Yay. Somebody's looking out for them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's what I'm talking about.
Great one. I loved it. All right.
There you go. We'll be back with our Well of Wisdom.
Wow, wow.
Lisa does animals.
Now, ladies, it's time for the Cosmic Seeker of Love. He's more than just a mule, and he ain't no sloppy Joe. Oh, yeah, he's the man witch. Oh, yeah.
Wow, 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 wow. Wow, 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 wow. It's wow time.
That's
nice. Beautiful.
That was pretty good, actually.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm getting better at my wows.
Mm-hmm.
Wow is our segment. It's called the Well of Wisdom. We all talk about the things that we feel like we know the most about. Mine happens to be animals that I don't do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was 2 weeks ago we talked about the dog breeder who was killed in Idaho Springs. I told you I'd give you an update, and I am. So apparently a man named Paul Peavy, who was, I have the hiccups, I'm sorry, guys, 57 years old and was a Colorado dog breeder. He bred Doberman Pinschers. A man by the name of Sergio Fiera, who's 36, now faces charges, including the first-degree murder, robbery, and the death of Paul Peavy. So I'm just going to give a little synopsis because it's really long, and I actually read it this time, you guys.
Did great.
So what happened was So not only was Paul murdered, but this is where it's kind of weird. Anywhere between 10 and 20 dogs were missing, but nobody has a count or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So the way they caught this gentleman, Sergio Fiera, his daughter was selling Doberman puppies on the interweb, and somebody ratted it out. They ended up finding out that this guy had dealings with Paul Peavy, had gone to his house multiple times to look at the puppies that were being sold for upwards of $5,000 a piece.
Wow.
And so he did admit to the fact that he knew Mr. Peavy. He admitted to the fact that when he went over to his house the last time, he wasn't there. So the opportunity arose. He took some of the puppies and stole his cell phone and some other stuff, but he didn't kill him. And I guess the police are thinking that is not the case. And so
criminal mastermind.
Yeah. Huh. And so now they have him in custody, and I think that his first arraignment date is coming up pretty soon.
He looks good for it. The perp.
The perp.
Perp.
It looks like it was him. I mean, I don't know. We'll keep you updated on that.
My daughter got these dogs.
Yeah. Oh, and then they said that two of the puppies have been located. They were all microchipped. So, yeah, they were microchipped to Paul Peavy at the time. One of them was actually sold by Mr. Peavy, the gentleman who was killed. The other one is back in the custody of the dog
family.
Police. I don't know. And but they don't know exactly where that came from. So two out of the 10 or 20 dogs that are missing are been accounted for. Yeah.
Well, thank you for that update.
Yeah.
Hopefully that criminal mastermind is off the streets.
Yes.
For good, forever. That is really frightening.
Right here in our own backyard, pretty much.
Yep.
He's a Cruella DeVille.
Wow.
Hey, do you guys care if I go next?
Go for it.
I want you to.
My well of wisdom is true crime and true crime rule number 39.
Ooh, they kind of follow each other.
Always. Every time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it is a true crime.
Yeah, true crime.
May I?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I do.
Beware the handsome Italian doctor, part deux. So, we've already talked about Paolo Macarini, that bastard guy who was screwing over all these women and killing people with his experimental stem cell throat surgery things. He's a dickhead, and he finally got caught after killing so many people, and he's a narcissist of the highest order and a psycho. Well, guess what? There's more.
Yeah.
So if you're into handsome doctor criminals, this guy's name, the unlikely name of Michael Mastromorino of New Jersey. I'll say it again. Michael Mastromorino.
Like how she rolls around.
Yes. So his wife was on a Dateline recently. Smoke show. Gorgeous lady.
She was on a, oh, Dateline.
Yep.
Uh-huh. I'm told. I was like, what is a Dateline?
It's kind of like, you know, the difference. You know.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I know what Dateline is. Yeah. Okay. Keep talking.
It's been around.
I was like, she was married to him and she was on a Dateline?
No, that's actually where I found out about this fella. And so he's devilishly handsome, of course. And they got together, I believe, when they were in high school or shortly thereafter. And he, all he wanted to do was be an oral surgeon. I'm sure there's a dirty joke in there somewhere. I don't know what it is. But so he did. He worked for a dentist office and then opened his own practice in Manhattan. And they made oodles and noodles and noodles of money. So with oodles of money and good looks, one starts sleeping with other women and developing pill popping addictions.
Right, Daryl?
Yeah, I was never on a Dateline.
And he's a thief and whatever. But it's all so cliche, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
And then after all of that happens, you become a body snatcher. So he is a mastermind of a body theft ring, and he was stealing and organizing thefts from graves and crypts and then selling those body parts to a company that would by then like reprocess them and sell them as tissue or organ donations or bones or whatever to. So yeah. So there's a million things wrong with this because A, you're taking the bodies unlawfully.
Yeah.
And which is the number one grossest thing. But also, if you are knowingly dealing with a deceased person legally, even then you have to test for diseases.
Yes.
And he's not doing that. So he's selling bodies that he stole that could have HIV, that could have this, it could have that.
Cancerous bones.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So anyway, he was the one, he got finally sentenced and caught. And his wife was one of those who's just like, one more chance. He's a good guy. You know, I'll put him in rehab a couple more times. I'll take his dick out of somebody else a couple more times. The body snatching thing, that's where I draw the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in any case, he went to jail and he got sentenced for an unusual, amount of 18 to 54 years. And he got the second highest felony next to premeditated murder. Mm. And is something like a criminal enterprise.
Oh.
So anyway, because I don't think they just have regular grave robbing on the books. But anyway, ladies, look out for handsome Italian doctors. Uh-huh. In local body snatching news, in Colorado, in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, there was a crypt that was broken into as recently as 2023. So keep an eye on your loved ones. Nobody's resting in peace. Peace out.
Wow.
Wow. That was...
Man, I'm glad mine's light.
You know what I got from that whole thing?
What?
A really good band name would be Cancerous Bones.
It would be.
We are Cancerous Bones.
It would be really good. It would be.
All right.
With Grave Robbers as our opener.
Michael Mastromarino.
He's the lead singer.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Except for that he died. I forgot to say that he died.
Oh, good.
Oh, good for him.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
Somebody ought to take his bones.
They should take his tissue and.
Yes, and do disrespectful things with it.
Yeah.
Ship it via UPS.
Right.
Like he did.
Right. Goodness. Okay. Well, mine's a light. Mine's really. Man, that was a lot.
Yeah.
But today's show's called Slip of the Lip.
You see.
And Stephen Piercy, Juan Courier, and Warren D. Martini wrote the song Slip of the Lip.
Slip, slip.
An American heavy metal band, Rat. The song was recorded in 1986 for the album Dancing Undercover. The last Dr. Light thing.
Talk about nipples.
Yeah. Dancing Undercover, and is also on the greatest hits, Rat and Roll, from 81 to 91. So just enjoy, you know, just give you a little insight of what song is about today. If you want to go hear it, there you go.
That's great. Rat and Roll,
that's,
baby.
That's my... Wow.
Didn't they have a video with lots of celebrities in it? Like, but one of them was Merle.
Haggard.
Milton Berle.
Yes, thank you. I was like, Berle Ives.
You know,
Milton Berle.
Did you know that he was actually, his brother was their what you call it, manager.
No.
Milton Berle's brother was their manager. That's why he was
obviously.
Yeah, he dressed up like a woman.
Another band name.
He dressed up like a woman. He was in a lot of their videos, but in one, he dressed up like a woman, and he pulled it off better than Bugs Bunny.
Well, Bugs Bunny does it the best.
Yeah, that's hard to act to follow.
Hey, thanks for listening to our show.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed it. Reach out if you did. If you didn't enjoy it, just keep it to yourself.
Yeah. Give us 5-star rating on all the platforms.
Yep.
If you don't think we deserve a 5-star rating, let us know and we'll fix it.
We'll get there.
We'll fix it.
Yeah, we'll get you there.
A pleasant disagreement. We can agree to disagree.
It'll be fine. Join our Patreon and help out all the wonderful causes.
Yeah. It feels really good that we're doing this.
Yeah.
I think it's great. And when you're done with that, stay witchy, my friends.
Stay bitchy.
Oh no! Must be the season.